following is a presentation of Learfield IMG College. From the Georgia Southern Sports Network, powered by Learfield IMG College.
Wake up, Eagle Nation! Touchdown, Georgia Southern!
This is Inside Eagle Nation, your all-access look into Eagle athletics.
Taking a look through all the other action in Georgia Southern athletics this past week. A lot of road action. A lot of teams hitting the old I-16 out of town.
Getting on the steel horse and taking us to parts north, south, west, wherever. Can't really go too much farther east.
Now let's return to the Learfield IMG College studios. Here are your hosts, Colin Lacey and Danny Reed.
That's a fact, Jack.
Welcome into another edition of Inside Eagle Nation, episode number 125 of the last couple of years of doing Inside Eagle Nation. I think we're on episode number 13 of Inside Eagle Nation Live on Facebook Live. But glad to be a part of your Tuesday morning or Tuesday afternoon, Wednesday, whenever you're listening to this.
We're worldwide. We got people in Japan, Scotland. We got people everywhere.
There's always somewhere in the Middle East, and you always kind of know where Rocco is.
That's a good point. Hey, who's listening in Tanzania? Thank you. Don't know what to call you, but thank you.
Thank you kindly. Colin Lacey alongside the voice of the Eagles, Danny Reed, as we get set for another edition of Inside Eagle Nation. That's, as always, brought to you by our good friends at Arcola Septic. Arcola Septic is your premier septic services provider to Bullock, Bryan, and adjoining counties, and a great family-owned business that's run by a pair of Georgia Southern alumni. Make sure to give them a call at 912-318-7939 or visit them online at arcolaseptic.com. For both commercial and residential customers, their more than 10 years of experience can help you out with pumping and servicing your septic system, drain field repairs, new system installation, and all of your septic needs. Remember to follow them on Facebook, Arcola Septic, yesterday's Meals on Wheels. A lot to get to in this week's edition of Inside Eagle Nation. We'll touch on the first spring practice and the first spring scrimmage for Georgia Southern football a little bit later on. But a new part of Inside Eagle Nation Live. If you're watching on Facebook, we've talked about it the last couple of weeks, how you can comment here on Facebook Live. You can tweet us at GS Sports Network. Text us as always, 912-274-3607. But adding a new twist to Inside Eagle Nation Live, and I think I forgot to tell you about this. So it'll be a surprise to you as well.
Yeah. Well, we've had our live guest the last couple of weeks with Jay Walker and Mike Hammond, the voices of Louisiana and ULM, as we preview the weekend's baseball series. But this is not related to that?
No. This is breaking news even to you.
Okay.
Sorry for that.
Sorry.
But doing not necessarily a new segment, but a new part called You Pick. And it's where throughout the episode, you can comment on Facebook Live, you can tweet us, text us like we just talked about.
Okay.
And you just start it with you pick and then tell us what you pick you want us to talk about at the end. It could be a story you want us to tell. It could be a certain team you want us to talk about. It could be anything that you can come up with.
You pick. Okay.
And anybody that's watching this can pick. And I know this is dangerous considering some of the people that I know are watching this, but
so
you
over
pick.
The course of the next 30, 45 minutes, as long as somebody says you pick and tells us what they want us to talk about, that's how we're going to end the show.
Yeah. It could be a story you've heard us tell before.
I'm getting the itchies now. Okay.
It could be a story you've heard us tell off air that we were hanging out and you just heard us telling.
Okay.
You pick.
All right.
And just start the comment, text, or the tweet with you pick, colon, whatever punctuation you want, I guess. Tell us what you want us to talk about, and we will do our best.
Okay.
We don't have a choice, because you picked.
So this is kind of like a dare.
Yeah.
Whatever they say. Oh, okay, we're going this or we're doing this.
Yeah, I kind of stole the idea from the Blue Collar Comedy Tour with Bill Engvall, Jeff Foxworthy, and Larry the Cable Guy, and we've watched that a million times.
A little bit, yeah.
Where they go out and have cards where people take requests, yeah, ask questions,
yeah.
And I have to answer it.
What Reno Collier reads.
Poor guy. But so we dive right into this week's edition of Inside Eagle Nation. Georgia Southern men's golf currently up at the Mountaineer Invitational in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Yesterday and today at the Pete Dye Club. Through one day, Georgia Southern was tied for fourth at 27 over. That's 14 strokes off the leader of Southern Miss. Brett Barron and Mason Williams are both tied for sixth individually. at 4 over. Georgia Southern just teeing off in the last 15 minutes or so as they are getting it going. It was a 9:20. Now it's being pushed back to about 9:30, 9:40 for the tee time for Georgia Southern. So running a little bit behind up in West Virginia, but they're going to get going here in the next few minutes, and we'll check the score once again before we sign off on this week's edition of Inside Eagle Nation next 45 minutes.
That's us picking ourselves, so we'll have to talk about that money.
Yeah, you picked that. Georgia Southern men's tennis had a light week for men's tennis after having the Sunday match with Kennesaw State canceled. Just one match last week and took care of business against CFC over at the Wallace Tennis Center with a 5-2 win over the Cougars on Senior Day. Five seniors recognized for the program, and they will host Coastal Carolina at noon on Saturday to conclude the regular season. Georgia Southern women's tennis finished up the regular season on an 8-match win streak as they added two this past weekend at home to finish the regular season. They defeated South Alabama 4-3 on Saturday. That's the South Alabama team that came into the matchup first place in the Sun Belt Conference. The first loss of the year for South Alabama. Georgia Southern had to rally from 3-1 down in singles to win the match, but a really good win for Sean McCaffrey. They would go on to add to that as they defeated Troy 4-0 on Sunday. Now they step into Sun Belt Conference tournament play up in Peachtree City Tennis Center as the Eagles take second in the Eastern Division. So they have a first-round bye on Thursday. They face the winner of Georgia State and ULM on Friday in the afternoon session.
Awesome way to end the season. Even better to think about that seed, because it was not too long ago that they were the number 8 seed and having to upset the number 1 overall seed UT Arlington to get a chance at South Alabama in the championship a couple of years ago. But to see the strides that Sean McCaffrey and that program have made, that is an awesome, awesome end of the season.
Another big congratulations this week going out to Georgia Southern cheerleading. The all-girls team won the all-girl Division 1A National Championship, and the co-ed team took third down in Florida. I know it's one that they didn't get to do last year, part of everything that got shut down because of COVID, and one that a lot of people don't necessarily talk about that got shut down last year, but I know Barry Moncassi and the team really excited to get back down to Florida after not being there last year, so it's been 2 years.
Were you telling me that he was showing pictures of where they were staying or the actual stage itself? Or
yeah, I was texting him on, I guess it would have been Thursday, and was asking him if there was a way online you could follow the scoring or whatnot, and he said that he would just text me updates, and so he sent me a picture outside his hotel room window of the stage, because everybody stays, I think, at the same hotel, and it overlooks the stage that's right on the beach, which is pretty nice.
That's really cool.
But a big congratulations again. The all-girls team won a national championship yet again. They're running out of fingers for all those rings.
They need Antonio Alfonseca to count on one hand now.
They're going to need one of those. Well,
Aaron's here. That's
hands.
Why we had a Marlins joke. That's
yeah,
fine.
There you go.
What about a mannequin hand?
You get one of those mannequin hands, and you just kind of carry around the extra ones. Georgia Southern football finished up the first spring scrimmage of the year last Saturday. It was a 75-play scrimmage. It started on back-to-back scoring plays as Justin Tomlin hooked up with J.J. McAfee through the air, first from 52. The second was from 20 yards out for the first two scoring plays of the day. Logan Wright would have a 26-yard touchdown. Connor Sagelski would hook up with Darius Lewis through the air for a 22-yard score. So a good day for Georgia Southern on the offensive side.
You're now seeing the first live instance of what a Doug Rue's offense in 2021 is going to look like. We had our idea in 14 and 15 when he was the offensive coordinator under Willie Fritz, and you had Wesley Fields, you had Matt Brady, you had L.A. Ramsby, Fabian Upshaw, who's back on staff as the running backs coach, and, of course, Kevin Ellison in the 2QB system. You know, he's been on record as saying he'd probably like to keep one guy in, more three-wide sets for this year, how it's all going to look once we get to September and take on Gardner-Webb in that season-opening game for 2021. We'll just have to see what transpires over the next few months, but to actually get guys out there, see how much different the offense is actually going to be. It's still spread gun, pistol gun, whatever you want to look at it, but some of the terms that were used for the previous 3 years, they had to keep them the same at the end of the season with Doug stepping in when Coach DeBess was let go. But now it's really a new system. It's the same idea, but it's just a substantially different way of doing things. and they're going to be a little bit behind. That nobody's going to say that you're going to be ready to win the Sun Belt Conference in the middle of April, because you're going to be breaking in a new quarterback, whether it's Justin Tomlin or whoever else is in the QB room. We saw him start a couple of times last year when Shai Wertz was hurt. But now that he's back healthy from ankle surgery, it appears that he's number one on the list for the moment. But that doesn't mean it's going to be that way by the time we get through the end of spring practice, we get into fall practice, and we get towards the first game of the season.
On the defensive side, in the first scrimmage, Justin Ellis forced a fumble. Dylan Springer recovered, and then Isaac Walker on the final play of the day had an interception.
Justin Ellis is somebody I'm really excited to watch next year. We saw him get it a little bit in that South Alabama game. He came up with a sack and a half, 2.5 tackles for loss. He was coming back off of the really gruesome knee injury that he suffered against LSU the year before in the season opener. And he had mentioned in an article I read just a couple of days ago, it had taken just so much time, not only to get there physically, but making sure that mentally he could do what he physically needed to do. And now that Georgia Southern is down, Raymond Johnson III rushing off the edge, that's somebody that you can slide in, fill that gap, and create a new kind of defensive mentality. But he's somebody that I think is primed for quite a year.
And talking about Georgia Southern football in the spring, you know you've got the spring game coming up, April the 24th, that presented by Southern Exchange. But a new addition to the spring game festivities, everybody knows about the EFAA reverse raffle that happens after the game. But before the game, you've got the first Southern Smoke Barbecue Cook-Off, and that presented by Ellis Meats Market. And this is something that it's going to be a lot of fun. You've got athletic staff and coaches competing on the grill. Now, they've put it out on social media, as you already know that Dr. Kyle Marrero, the university president, is going to be a judge. Frank Sulkowski from WJCL and the Georgia Southern Sports Network is going to be a judge as well, and that's one of the best choices I think that's been made.
Especially since we're not going to be there and we can't do it. We got to be represented somehow.
But there's three different categories, and Ellis Meats providing all the meat for this. But you can compete in three different categories. You've got pulled pork, brisket, and or ribs. So you can do one, you can do two, I think you can do all three. And then you've got Frank, Dr. Marrero, and then a special guest judge is going to be chosen from social media. People have been asked to send their videos in of why they should be a judge, which I'm not sure if there's some of those videos I want to see of how you kind of say you're going to be a judge or show you want to be a judge. Because I feel like it involves having to show a video of you eating, right?
Maybe. Not necessarily, though.
That's true.
Not necessarily.
But it's going to be a lot of fun. And then you look at some of the scoring. Participants are going to be judged on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the highest. And then you've got the following categories that you choose from. The aroma and the taste, the texture and tenderness, the visual appearance, and creativity.
This all began from, especially Jared, over the last few months. It seems every weekend he's trying something else out on the grill. Other athletic staffers, other coaches have jumped on, and this just grew into something. Well, why don't we actually see who does it the best? I think this is a really good idea. Somebody's going to need to send some stuff out to Norman so we can sample ourselves. But
yeah, I don't think you can. By the time you would ship it out there, we're already back. Well, so we just need somebody to put it in a freezer.
Well,
and then
we'll
get it when we get back.
Saying Mr. Rogers, get Mr. McFeely, speedy delivery.
Well, we ain't going to Neverland or Imagination World. What is it?
With King Friday and
I don't know.
The world of make-believe.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. I knew it was something like that.
Trolley.
Yeah. Ding, ding. But it's going to be a fun day around the Georgia Southern Blue-White Spring Game, April the 24th, a full day of activities all around Allen E. Paulson Stadium.
The reverse raffle and the whole event, the gala at Paulson Stadium for the first time ever. If it happens to be inclement weather, they're going to move it inside to Hander Fieldhouse, but that should be a spectacle.
That's going to be a lot of fun,
yeah,
no doubt about it. Before we get into Georgia Southern baseball and softball, got a little bit of a news note to pass along. As a new leader for Georgia Southern Sports Properties, Terry Harvin taking over as the new general manager for Georgia Southern Sports Properties at the division of Learfield IMG College here on campus. But Terry, the new leader, and now is our boss.
we've talked about all of our crew members over the years and in various ways, but nobody loves this place like Terry does.
No.
Nobody. And from what he's experienced in terms of sales, marketing, brand management, brand extension, there's nobody else that could do this better. And I'm really, really happy that the stars have lined up that he could take over and move us to a place where we can get to.
There was a message that went out yesterday across the entire Learfield company, and one of the responses was from Taylor Durham up at Elon that knew Terry well.
I didn't see that.
And he responded back with, Senator Harvin.
They always called him the governor.
They always called him the governor because he always wore the old sport coat that him and Blair used to wear that had the Georgia Southern Sports Network logo on it, and so he would call him the governor, but I don't know if that's a promotion or a demotion to go to Senator Harvin.
Yeah, right now, I could go either way.
That's true. But good to hear from Taylor.
Now that Terry's going to be here a lot more regularly, I mean, he'd been in Macon for a number of years doing a number of different projects, but now that he's going to be fully in Statesboro, it's going to be really nice having him back.
Moving on to Georgia Southern Diamond Sports, as Georgia Southern softball had a pretty good weekend up in Conway, South Carolina. Fell on Friday 3-5 to the Chanticleers, but then got things rolling in a doubleheader on Saturday. In the first game, it was a six-inning victory, 9-1 for Georgia Southern over the Chanticleers, and then a thriller in game number two. It was a 7-6 victory for Georgia Southern, the first two wins of the Sun Belt Conference slate for head coach Kim Dean and company, and they have gone through a lot the first part of this Sun Belt Conference slate. You had to start it off with Louisiana, and then you faced first-place Troy. So now you're starting to get to a little bit, not necessarily easier of a schedule, but you're not facing the number 12 team in the country and the top team in the Sun Belt.
Getting out of a COVID pause, you never know what a team is going to be like mentally and physically after having to not play. But we saw Makai Freeman live up to the billing. She had that phenomenal home run robbery catch in game two. Goes over 200 career hits. I do feel bad because a year ago, she was off to just a phenomenal start before the shutdown. And that's a big reason why she decided to come back for 2021. But so nice to not only see her get into the record books, but also make a play like that to preserve a sweep.
They will start a six-game homestand tonight. It's a doubleheader against Charleston Southern, 4 o'clock, the first pitch of Game 1. Game 2 will come up about 30 minutes after the conclusion of Game number 1. And then it's 3 here this weekend against Appalachian State, a doubleheader on Saturday starting at 1 o'clock, and then the single game on Sunday. That's a noon first pitch, all of that over at Eagle Field, and then they'll have a midweek here next week for Georgia Southern softball as well. Good to have them home. Seems like they've been on the road a lot. We talked about it at the beginning of the season how 5 of their 8 Sun Belt Conference series are on the road. They only have 3 home Sun Belt series, and so this being one of those over at Eagle Field.
So while they are over there, we will be right here for the first of 2 straight midweek games at J.I. Clements.
Correct. For Georgia Southern baseball, it was a good week last week, and it started on Tuesday. We talked about heading up to Athens last week, and it was a 2-1 victory for Georgia Southern over the Georgia Bulldogs to split the 2-game midweek series.
Woohoo!
And it was one that we had talked about. Georgia Southern hadn't rallied in late innings to be able to pick up a victory, but you get a Mason McWhorter home run in the 7th. You get a Christian Avant home run in the 9th. He even admitted that was a routine fly ball. But at the end of the day, it went over the wall. You get 2 home runs. That's all you need with a 2-1 victory.
Look, we sat in these chairs 1 week ago and said somebody is going to have a chance tonight to make a play late. Christian Avant did it with 2 outs, barely clearing the wall into the evergreens. When Riley King went back on it, I thought, okay, that's probably going to be a fly out. Then you thought, okay, maybe it's a double. And then did he actually hit that? And then he just – that's a moment that he's always going to have. Because how often at an SEC place, especially an in-state school like Georgia, do you get a chance with 2 outs in the 9th inning to hit a home run to win a game? That's just – and it got the week off to a great start. It ended well, but now you just hope that it really was the jumping off point for this team. Just awesome.
It was a lot of fun, and you really felt like after a tough week the week prior, we talked about losing 2 out of 3 to Georgia State and dropping the midweek game against CFC here at J.I. Clements last Tuesday, but being able to kind of take a deep breath after that victory against Georgia and be like, okay, we're fine. Back to Eagle baseball.
Exactly.
Big old exhale. The extra part about it, remember, Avan had gotten moved up from the 5 spot to the 3 spot that game. So if he's not batting where he is, he's not having a chance to hit that home run. Maybe the game doesn't go that way. It's a lot of balls in the air in regards to that one. But the way that it went, the fact that he was bumped up 2 spots, had a chance to win a game, and he did.
Georgia Southern then moved on to J.I. Clemens Stadium, back home again to take on the ULM Warhawks. And it was a good weekend for Georgia Southern. On Friday, a 4-3 victory on the back of Tyler Owens. 4-1 the victory on Saturday behind Chase Dolander. And then a 7-1 victory on Sunday behind Jordan Jackson. Really good starting pitching this weekend and really good pitching overall. And we've talked about the bullpen a lot the last couple of weeks.
2 earned run from starting pitching all weekend, last 12 games. Eagle earned run average 1.97.
That'll work.
Now second in the league behind Louisiana. That's how much improvement there has been these last few weeks.
That will definitely work.
And the bullpen's been there. Look, Nick Jones gets a lot of the attention because of the mustache. He's going to get a lot of the attention. Jacob Parker's been great. Jay Thompson has filled the role. We've seen Ben Johnson. I know he's going to start tonight against North Florida, but he's done well out of the bullpen, coming up with some timely strikeouts, trying to reincorporate guys like Griffin Davis and Hayden Harris. You get that kind of depth, that's exactly what you need in tournament play, especially going to pool play this year, where you're going to have to play at least 3 games now, yep, instead of just the normal 2. So the more arms you can have that can do it, the better.
And we talked about it, I think, on Sunday against ULM, that the bullpen really started to get going when the starters really started to get going, and you weren't having to go to your bullpen in the 3rd, 4th, 5th inning of pretty much every game, because there for a while the bullpen had a lot more innings than the starters. And we talked about it, how in college baseball especially, your bullpen is going to have more innings than your starters, just from the fact that a lot of times in the midweek it turns into a staff day, and right, so you're getting a lot of innings. But the fact that this weekend was the first time that starters now average more pitches than the bullpen, I think, is where you really started to see the bullpen start clicking, when you're only having to do 3, 4, maybe 5 innings.
The first 3 weeks of the season, it was an event when somebody went 5.
Yeah.
A lot of guys were 4, 4 and 2/3, but not very often were you scraping 5 innings. Now, Tyler Owens taking hold of that Friday position, he's basically been a given for 6 innings, 3 runs or less, especially since the start of conference play. Chase Dolander's been a little bit touch and go, but here in this ballpark, really good again against ULM, and then with Jordan Jackson in the Sunday role or the Game 3 role, back-to-back quality starts. It feels like a corner is being turned, but you have to continue to go this way, especially when you launch into a 5-game week, which we haven't had this season, against 3 different teams.
It's a busy week. Starts tonight against the Ospreys of North Florida. 6 o'clock the first pitch here at J.I. Clemens. We'll be on the air at 5:30 with the Eagle on Deck Circle. And this is a game that earlier on the season, go down to Jacksonville, and to be able to take that game from North Florida, the wind was blowing in all night long, and the ball was not going anywhere. There were probably 2 or 3 balls that were hit hard enough to be home runs any other day, but because the wind was blowing in as much as it was, they just died out in left field. But to pick up the 3-1 victory over the Ospreys, and this is a much better North Florida team than the North Florida teams that I think of, because Georgia Southern hadn't played them before this year since 2016. That was back when Smoke Lavelle was the head coach down in North Florida. And the last couple of years of Smoke, they kind of had fallen off a little bit, and I think that was part of the transition between Smoke Lavelle and Tim Parenton. But Parenton really has this team trending in the right direction. We talked about it down in Jacksonville, how on opening weekend they had knocked off Florida State in a game. After Georgia Southern beat them on that Tuesday, they go to Athens and knock off Georgia on that Friday, yeah, following the week. So this is a team that is trending in the right direction.
They're off of a COVID pause, but not their COVID. It, yeah, was issues with Stetson. They were supposed to play the Hatters last weekend. That's a series that is now going to be played this weekend in DeLand. And the interesting thing, we talked about this earlier last week, there was going to be a round robin this weekend in the A-Sun where it was going to be Jacksonville, Florida Gulf Coast, North Florida, and Stetson all playing each other over the course of 3 days in DeLand. But now that that series has been shifted to this weekend, North Florida is going to play for the first time in 10 days. The last time that they were on the field, they got swept at home by Florida Gulf Coast, but they swept a 3-game series at Jacksonville. Team hits about 260. The pitching has struggled a little bit, giving up a nearly 300 batting average, but they've got to face another left-hander tonight. Do the Eagles beat 2 in a row to finish up the ULM series? we got a U pick.
No, we don't.
Okay.
No.
Oh, your expression, I thought we got a U
no,
pick.
No, we're good.
But that was the game that you called. I wasn't there. I was in a hotel room in Pensacola watching on the stream.
Yeah, Aaron Soka and I called that one after we climbed the ladder up to the roof. And that was not a warm evening in Jacksonville, that much I can tell you.
Didn't you say as the team was walking in, everybody was...
Yeah, the team's walking in. They have to go from the left field wall to the first base dugout. As they're walking behind the plate, everybody's looking up and either going, oh, poor guys, or laughing at us. One of the two.
What did Roddy do?
Roddy just kind of gave his smile, head tilt, and kept on walking. That's about it. But tomorrow, Georgia Southern will renew the rivalry with the Mercer Bears on a Wednesday, 6 o'clock first pitch here at J.I. Clements. Once again, we'll be on the air at 5:30. Back-to-back days for the first time in the midweek, like you talked about, first five-game week of the season. And this is a Mercer team that you know what you're going to get, a really good offensive team, and really doing well in SoCon play.
They've also won their last seven games. They're going to come in 20-11. It seems that this version, I remember about 4 years ago, they came in, they were 35-7. They were top 25 team, but in the midweek, you know it's a bit of a crapshoot. Georgia Southern winning both of those games, taking two straight for, I think they were 22nd at the time. This Mercer offense is getting it from everywhere. And the funny thing is that the last time that we would have seen the Bears was 2 years ago, sweeping both games. Just about their entire offense is still there from 2 years ago. Only Kyle Daukaus has gone, their second baseman. I'm not going to count Kel Johnson because he was only there for 1 year, hit 23 home runs. I'm not going to count him. But most of the guys that were on that team, they're still there. Pitching-wise, they've had some changes. But their offense feels like an offense that's very experienced, and they're doing just about everything well.
It's going to be a lot of fun on the midweek, and then we make our way to Conway, South Carolina, to take on the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers. It's a Chanticleers team that just came off a COVID pause. Because of that, they had to shift their weekend series against UT Arlington this past weekend to a Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. So they just finished that up last night. But a Coastal Carolina team that you know what you're going to get from Gary Gilmore and company. And it'll be a 6 o'clock first pitch Friday, 2 o'clock on Saturday, 1 o'clock on Sunday from the Grand Strand.
One thing about them so far this year, they're really young. The team that we saw in the championship game 2 years ago, it's totally different. Outside of Parker Chavers, it's totally different. Hitting, pitching. This is something that they had to deal with in 2012, 2013. They had a couple of down years after they had a ridiculous stretch of 50-plus win seasons, getting into supers. Of course, they won the national championship in 2016. But I'm not going to say that this is going to be a down time for them, but it seems that it could be that way with as much youth as they have. They haven't had a conference home series yet.
Yeah.
They went to Louisiana, dropped 2 of 3, then lost a non-conference game on Monday, which didn't count towards the league. They missed their series at home against App because of COVID, go to Arlington, and they lost the last two games of that series, like as you mentioned, just finishing up yesterday. They were going to play UNC Wilmington tonight. That's now tomorrow at Wilmington. So they've got to be a little bit travel-weary, having just flown back from the Metroplex yesterday, traveling again tomorrow, and then going back, and then the Eagles will be there on Thursday for that Friday through Sunday split.
Making our way up to the Grand Strand, always a good trip.
Yeah,
always
like
have a lot
trip.
Of fun up in Myrtle Beach. It's an easy trip, yep. About 3.5-4 hours from here. Get to stop by Dario's and indoctrinate Aaron Soka into that. That'll be his first trip to Dario's.
Are you going to fry bologna this time? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
When I found out they had a fried bologna sandwich, I was in like Flynn.
I think I might do the ice cream this time. Got to get a curly burger,
yeah.
Though.
I'm telling you, don't get a large cup of ice cream. Aaron, I'm telling you right now, don't get a large cup of ice cream because I didn't finish it. And you know how I like ice cream. They gave you a gas station big gulp of ice cream.
It is a big old cup.
Good grief. It was insane. They handed it to me. I was like, ooh, that might not be good.
I always got to give my nod to Bobby Harton, the host of Fan Talk in Charleston, South Carolina on ESPN 98.9 for the suggestion about 10 years ago.
I was always wondering how you came across.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't see you going through Orangeburg a whole lot.
Well, I don't, but every so often on his show, he's done Fan Talk for 25 years now. It's 3 to 6 every day. And every so often when Orangeburg would come up, he would always say, "Do you got a Dario? Get your curly burger?" It would be every so I'd ask him about it. And he said, "You've been there." He said, "It's been a while, but it's really good." So I've always remembered that. And every time we go through, I always text him and say, "Hey, we're Dario again." He's one of the best. He's a great guy.
But it'll be a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in Conway, South Carolina. Again, 6 o'clock the first pitch on Friday, 2 o'clock on Saturday, 1 o'clock on Sunday. And that starts a good little poke for us on the road. Seven straight on the road. Next week it'll be Kennesaw State in the midweek and then making the way out to Norman, Oklahoma to take on Boomer Sooner. You ready for the trip? I mean, we'll come back on Sunday night. We'll be here Monday and Tuesday and then Audi 5.
But. Yeah, we'll be gone for about a week because we got that Wednesday night game at Kennesaw, Cheeseburger Bobby's earlier that day. That's a given. And then flying out sometime on Thursday, mid-morning, early afternoon to get to Oklahoma City. And then we'll take the short trip to Norman for that three-game set against the Sooners. They're right about 500 this year. And just the experience of being able to play a weekend series against another conference. Most of the time it's about Georgia. We get Tennessee in, which was great, East Carolina the last couple of years. But to play a Big 12 team at their place, that's kind of cool. That's cool stuff.
Yeah, and that one's going to be fun. Just newly redid Dale Mitchell Park.
Yep.
So being able to see the new renovations, and it looks pretty – looks pretty sweet.
Matt Stoltz was there earlier this year for a weekend series.
Oh, Matt.
They beat Oklahoma in the first game, and I think the Sooners got the last two. But that first game was like a 15-14 game, so we might want to see a little bit of offense this week, next weekend. We're going to see it this weekend, too, because the ball jumps like crazy at Springsbrook Stadium. But just the fact to play Coastal there, I would play them there every year. I love that ballpark.
Yeah. We love joked it. That if baseball had to go into a bubble like – the NCAA tournament did, that we either wanted it to be in Conway, Statesboro, or Louisiana.
We've got really good memories up there.
Yeah.
Because Georgia Southern's the only conference team that's taken two series at Coastal since they joined the league, but also losing the 19 championship up there against them, despite the Eagles being the home team.
We've just got to stay in that third base dugout, and we're good.
Yeah.
That first base dugout was not kind because that was a hot day. Goodness gracious.
A lot more good than bad has happened there for the Eagles, but you do think that the last time that 19 team was on the field that it could have been the one. It was going to be a really tough thing to do against a Coastal team on their field. They had to win five straight games just to get there after losing to Arlington in the first round on a walk-off. Those are some crazy games.
Yeah.
Every game up there has just been –
a lot of really good people up there, though. We've talked about Joe Cashin, and it's about this time of the year that he texts us and says, "Hey, I'm going to be doing y'all series," for the only games that he does all year.
We need to get him off the volleyball circuit this weekend, but I don't know if
we're
going to be able to get him.
Yeah, I don't think we're
going to
win that one. But you got Kevin Davis, the great sports information director up there. Knew him from his time at Georgia Tech, and then he made the transition to Coastal Carolina after Mike Kaywood made his way to Arkansas. So good people up there.
You get to see Kaywood this year. For football.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I wonder if he still has the game notes of many colors.
Well, how does teal work with Woo Pig?
I don't know, but he had more colors on his game notes than a third grader's art project. Yeah.
Those were infographics. Those were not just your straight.
Those were color coordinated.
Yeah. But there was
without a doubt.
At that point, there was a lot to tell.
That's true. Very true.
And now that you won a national championship, there's always going to be a lot to tell when you're talking about Coastal baseball.
Very true. As we wrap up episode number 125 of Inside Eagle Nation, we started it off with the U-Pick, adding this to this week. And
I'm scared.
Well, I don't know if you should be or shouldn't be. One, because nobody asked a U-Pick, and so we've got to finish it off. And so I'm going to ask Aaron. Aaron, what's your U-Pick?
Careful.
Oh, no. No, we're not talking about the Braves-Marlins game last night.
Yeah, he still didn't touch the plate.
That wasn't the Marlins.
I'm not even a Braves fan. I need to touch the plate.
Yeah, no. No. We ain't getting into that because we don't have that kind of time. We do throw first pitch at 6. But Aaron has the U-Pick of one ball bag umpires.
The floor is yours.
We talked about it this weekend, kind of at length for the first time in a while. But I'm convinced that when you see a home plate umpire, they have the ball bags that they wear on their hips. to keep the baseballs in, and when a foul ball goes, they reach in the side satchel, flip it back out to the mound. Well, for some unknown reason, it became a trend.
This is about 4 years ago that we started noticing this.
Yeah, I mean, it was a trend for probably about 10 years ago that a lot of people did it, and then they realized, I'm kind of off balance. But that people only wear one ball bag on their right hip. They don't wear the left one, which is very strange to me. And so I don't know what made me start thinking of this, but the fact that I haven't seen an umpire with one ball bag that is really great behind the plate. I'm not saying you're going to be an awful umpire. You can be fine on the bases. But if
you're not going to wear a ball bag on the bases.
Correct. And so you're balanced and upright.
Yeah.
But if you only have the one ball bag on your right side, you're not very good. And people have told me, no, there's no way that's right. I'm like, okay, find a one ball bag umpire that's good and let me know.
Or sit there and watch a game that you know.
My phone's been silent.
Sit there and watch a game where you know that the umpire behind the plate is going to have one ball bag. Just observe and then
right.
make your decision.
Yeah. So the next time you're watching a Braves game, a Georgia Southern game, whatever, check out the home plate umpire. If he has one ball bag, if he has two, I'm not saying he's going to be good. I'm just saying he's got a better shot.
Right.
But if you only have one ball bag, find one that is really good behind the plate.
Well, we have a documented proof from the majors that there is some validity to this.
Yeah, there's not very many in Major League Baseball that do it, but
there's one.
Angel Hernandez does it, and, well, there that is. But and again, I've asked people that I want to find one. Like, I want that to be my life's mission, but I'm starting to think it's Bigfoot.
Well, you wonder if they're dying out like left-handed quarterbacks. You don't see a whole lot of them anymore now. They're going to the two-ball bags. You don't see the one very much
right.
anymore. Like the kicker that wears the single-bar face mask, right. You don't see him anymore.
But I've asked a lot of people to send me to next time they see a one-ball bag person, see if they're any good. And nobody has told me, hey, I saw a good one. But now I get a lot of times if somebody sees a major league game or a college game, wherever they are, that the home plate umpire is a one-ball bag, I get a lot of texts of, uh-oh, one ball bag, this ain't going to be good.
And it's a lot more than if he has two.
Correct.
Not that two is exclusively you're going to be awesome, like you mentioned, but the likelihood of one versus two means that there could be a lot more questionable calls. Mm-hmm. Making enemies instead of friends in both dugouts.
I don't understand the point of it either.
No, you made me a believer pretty quickly. It never came up on an actual broadcast.
No, it's one of those things you never really think of.
Until it happens.
Right. But to me, and everybody knows I'm a stickler for details anyway, but to me that's like wearing one shoe.
You have your pens color-coded alphabetically in your binder. So, yes, you're a
stickler. Not alphabetically, but, yeah, they are color-coordinated.
I said what I said.
Yeah. Actually, are they? No, they're not. Red's first. I had to stop and think about that one.
How dare you put red first?
Well, sorry. It's the way I do it. But yeah, that's my, I don't know what you want to call it, rant.
That's our first U pick.
One ball bag umpires.
And that's how it will work. If you want a U pick in future episodes, you can also send these in any time.
Yeah, you can send them at any time, but we can only do it on, well, I guess we could do it on the air.
Yeah.
Or radio.
And these are like coaches show questions, too. You don't have to wait until 10 minutes before the show or during the show to ask questions. If you've got a question, we'll file it. If we see a coach or we have a chance to, we'll ask them whenever we get an opportunity.
So, you pick. That's the new thing for
you pick.
Inside Eagle Nation.
I know that we're not Miami, but you pick.
Get Chris Davis to do that.
He was the duck.
The Ibis.
Yeah.
Sebastian?
Sebastian.
Is that it?
Yeah.
There it is. Perfect. But a busy week for Georgia Southern Baseball. 5 games this week. It starts tonight against the North Florida Ospreys. 6 o'clock first pitch. We're on the air at 5:30. For the voice of the Eagles, Danny Reed, until next week, this is Colin Lacey saying so long, everybody.
You've been listening to Inside Eagle Nation, powered by Learfield, the official podcast of Georgia Southern Athletics.